It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, my friends, to the latest edition of Cabali and Mac. I'm Chris Mac, that man over there crushing a sandwich because he just walked in the door because he's a busy, busy dude. Drinking some unsweetened iced tea because that's the way he likes it, is the great Kaboom, Steelers reporter for the last quarter century or so, Mark Cabali. How's your weekend, Kaboom? How you doing, bud?
Pretty boring.
Nothing is better than me coming in at 100 miles an hour with all this energy, asking you how your weekend was, brother. Pretty boring.
Hey, what can I tell you?
You just throw your big wet Kaboom blanket all over it.
It rained all day Friday. It rained all day Saturday.
Uh-huh.
It rained most of the day Sunday.
Yeah. It actually ended up being nice yesterday afternoon, so I'm not going to listen to any complaints.
Yeah, but, you know, all the games are canceled, so you're forced to watch the Pirates, which may the fourth inning be with you. I was out by
that
the
is
fourth.
Their, by the way, that is their thanks. First of all, before we do anything, thanks to the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. They are presenting sponsors here at Cabali and Mac, and we appreciate them for supporting us and letting us do this thing a few times a week where we sit here and talk to you about the Steelers and Pittsburgh and everything else going on in the world, everything else going down. But speaking of going down, that is the major league leading, Mark, sixth time already. We're barely a month into the season. We are like six, maybe bordering on 6 weeks into the season. It's more like five. And they've been shut out six times already. Leading the majors, the Pirates. I mean, I don't even know what to think of it anymore.
And this surprised you how?
It doesn't surprise me because they did jack squat to bolster the lineup over the offseason. Tommy Pham's hitting like my body weight, like 185 or something. That's a lie. I weigh more than 185. I weigh like $2 now. But, you know, it's just, it's sad. It's pathetic. As Michelle Therrien would call it, pathetic.
I think we might have the worst offense ever.
We got the worst offense in the league.
You know, maybe Maxime Talbot.
Maybe. How about Maxime Talbot? I take half his salary because he only play half the time. Would he like that? These guys want to get paid half because they only play half the time. Tommy Pham, he want to stand there and play with his junk in left field and gesture to the fan. You know, he want to do that. How about I only pay him half?
You're starting to sound like Razor Ramon now.
It's terrible. I don't do a good Michelle Therrien. I don't. But, yeah, it's sad, man. It's just sad. The other end of the spectrum, NHL draft lottery tonight. How about that? Pens? What if the Penguins got the top overall pick in the lottery, how pissed would the rest of the hockey world be right now? Have they worn out all of their lottery luck?
They already got all their ping pong balls.
Generations.
They got enough ping pong balls go their way for the next 50 generations, right?
Probably.
But I don't think they have. There's no sure bet guy, right? There's no Crosby, Ovechkin, Malkin.
No, there isn't really. There's probably, if they could end up in the top four or five picks, I think. This is a question for our friend Jesse Marshall. He knows all about the prospects. We should have him on close to the NHL draft because he sits there and crushes tape of all these guys. If they could end up in the top four or five, which I don't know how likely that is. I know there's a 5% chance to get the first overall pick. They just end up in the top four or five, or they could somehow even slide into, you know, the top eight. I think right now they sit at ninth. Based on how the lottery goes, ninth or tenth.
Hey, so, let's talk about the more important stuff, though.
What?
The NHL having their draft lottery during, like, intermission of the Toronto-Florida game.
I mean, that's what the NBA does, too, isn't it? They do it towards the end of the playoffs, don't they? I mean, look, all of these leagues have learned from the NFL in a grand way, and that is don't have downtime. Keep make it a year-round thing as much as you can. And the NHL, especially because the Four Nations pushing everything back this year, I mean, they're not going to award the Stanley Cup until the second week of June, most likely.
Yes.
So, and then free agency starts on July 1st and the draft is the weekend before. So it rolls. It's a 12 month a year deal. The NHL goes to sleep for what? Maybe most of July and August, and then wakes back up in mid September. Same thing with the NBA. They go to sleep in mid June and then there's free agency in July. So really it's only August and September where they're not top of mind for people, their basketball fans. They've all learned from the NFL, which really only takes like not even a 2 month break, like a 5 week break.
From the day that mini camp ends, which is a week earlier this year, until basically the 4th of July. After the 4th of July, the coaches starts rolling around, and all of a sudden, a week or so later, you're in Latrobe. But the point was having a carved out time. At least have its own 2 hour show, you know. Hey, let's go to Gary.
Do you need a 2 hour show for the lottery, though?
I mean, you can, if you could sell it, you would.
That's true. That's true. That's a fair point, I guess. But yeah, it's the NHL. They'll be fine. Those game sevens were ridiculous. I know you didn't watch them, probably. Damn it, Mark. Game seven.
I don't want to watch Winnipeg. You know, playoff hockey, there's nothing like a game seven in the NHL.
How about a game seven in double overtime with the team with the best regular season record fighting to hang on?
Every single football playoff game in the history of mankind is a game seven.
I know.
Right?
It is. I'm not going to argue with you.
You're banking this all on they take it to a different level in the playoffs. So you're telling me the regular season are just dogging it then. So they have the ability
They go from going at 100 miles an hour to 125 miles an hour.
You shouldn't be able to. I'm not going to sit there and pat them on the back for, you know, not going 100% during the regular season, then turning it on during the postseason. Okay, it's good and it's fun to watch, whatever. But
it's fantastic to watch.
Well, maybe not if you actually put that effort in, you know, March.
I am all the way here for you claiming that dudes in the NHL don't put effort in until April.
Obviously, they don't put as much effort as they do in the playoffs.
Oh my God!
Right?
Oh,
or you wouldn't be able to take it to that next level. There's no other level to take it to.
It goes from being a marathon during the regular season to being a sprint in the playoffs. A 2 month long sprint.
There's your cliche. Speaking of marathons.
Did you run it?
Yeah, right. My kid wanted me. He kept saying, I'm still mad at you because I'm like, marathon.
We did the kids marathon.
Did it rain?
Right after we finished. We got rained on a little bit, which was actually nice because we were hot and we wanted to cool off.
Did you win?
No, there's no winning. You go in heats. You go in like different packs. So we were in like the West Jefferson Hills School District was a part of Heat 19, I think it was. Really? Like Bell Vernon. Oh, and
that's why he wanted to go.
What? Why?
Where'd you park?
Oh, funny you should mention. Don't ever use Google Maps when you're going downtown for a big event, because it will inevitably lead you to the 10th Street bypass and tell you to make a U-turn in the middle of the 10th Street bypass, which I did not listen to. We ended up parking all the way over by like Point Park, like right off of the Boulevard of the Allies. It was 3rd and
you had to walk to the stadium? Smithfield.
You walk over to basically right across from the Honus Wagner statue. Which isn't a bad walk. We got there in plenty of time. It took like a 20-minute walk to walk over there. And then you run back, and the finish line is right there on the Boulevard of the Allies in front of like Point Park.
Did you like really go all out and have your running shoes and those little fancy running shorts and the tank top?
No. I wore the same kind of crap I'm wearing right now. Some cheap Under Armour shorts and a plain T-shirt. That's what I wore. My son, who, you know, for those not in the know, and it's not a big sob story, but he had brain surgery a couple years ago because he couldn't really walk all that well. It's a neuromuscular thing called dystonia. You can look it up to learn more about it. But this is his second kid's marathon, so he was really excited to actually run it. But then, like three quarters of the way into it, he started complaining because he was hot and sweaty. Mm-hmm. And so he walked for like 100 yards. And then my wife and I both yelled at him that if you're going to do this thing, you're going to finish up right, and you're going to actually jog to the finish line.
That's really nice of you, like, a kid that's been through a lot. You're yelling at him because he's hot and sweaty.
He was mad that he felt gross. It's like, bro, you're wait running. You're going to sweat. You're going to feel gross.
Wait till you get old and you walk up the steps and you feel gross because your knee hurts.
Yeah. Wait, my buddy. Knees make a noise that I can't even describe. It sounds like someone, not with bubble wrap, but like just a plastic bag is just twisting a plastic bag. That's what my knees sound like when I go upstairs. It's not good. But yeah, so what did you, were you pissed off about the marathon for some reason? What are you mad about with the marathon? You're going to complain about it.
You
get mad that you see people's stuff all over social media?
No, I mean, I just don't get it. People run for fun. It couldn't be fun. It wasn't fun.
I don't run unless I'm being chased or unless my kid wants to, and then I run alongside him. My niece did the half. A couple friends did the half. A couple people we know did the relay. My sister-in-law walked the half marathon, but she walked it at a faster pace than I think some people run it. I don't know. If people are into it, hey, have at it. It's your day.
You have one of those stickers on the back of your car, 26.2.
No, I don't even put a 1.0 on the back.
I put a 0.0. I have to go cut the grass maybe later. And that's where I'm really
cut the front yard on Saturday in some rain. And then also sawzawed up. Actually, no, it was yesterday. Sawzawed up the swing set that collapsed in the storm the other day. And I just went outside right before the show started and helped the garbage men throw it all into the truck because there was so much stuff.
How would you help them?
We tipped them too because it was a lot of heavy shit.
Well, you know how much they charge us?
Look,
they like doubled the price
nice
over
guys
the year.
Trying to do their job.
Yeah,
if honestly, you're going to shame me for tipping them $10 and helping them throw a couple of the things into the back of the truck to make sure they took it, then hey, you know what? Honestly, you make fun of me all you want.
You look at it and you break it down how much you have to pay per time they show up. It's like a couple bucks, right? Yeah. Whatever the price of your garbage bill is and you divide it by the 52 weeks, it's like $5 a week.
People come and take your trash, literally your trash, and collect it and throw it in the back of a truck for you. I'm not willing to say I'll pay whatever, but whatever we're paying, I think we're okay. But yeah, I don't have a problem with tipping the garbage, man. You tip them at Christmas. And
mine comes at like 4:30 in the morning, so there's no way I'm helping.
Oh, yeah, you're not up by then. All right. Thanks as well to our good friends at Southwest Greens for being a part of the fun here at Cabali and Mac. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Neither one of us would have to bitch about cutting our grass if we would have Southwest Greens out and lay down that beautiful artificial lawn. And then it looks and acts like the best lawn in the neighborhood, except you don't have to cut it. You don't have to water it. It's great for the kids. They can play on it year round if they want to. It's awesome. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Go check it out right now. Tell them Cabali and Mac sent you and that you want to get your yard taken care of once and for all. No more of this weed whacking, mowing in the rain, waiting for a dry day to go out and cut it, bagging it, throwing it on the hillside. Ugh, none of it. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Best looking yard in the neighborhood without having to spend all that time and money on the maintenance that comes with having the best looking yard in the neighborhood. Do you see Aaron Rodgers was at the Kentucky Derby?
Absolutely not. And we need to add the number one. We got to kick somebody off of the cake eater list and add people that go to the Kentucky Derby.
So Aaron Rodgers is a cake eater for going to the Kentucky Derby.
You're going to the Kentucky. First of all, you don't like, nobody likes horse racing. Nobody. Maybe
you didn't bet on a horse? Nothing like that?
I'm getting on a horse.
Why not? It's fun.
How's it fun? You don't know any of the horses.
We won. Yeah. We won like $40. It was a big day in the Mac household.
$40.
Yeah.
But, you know, first of all, you're showing up in your fancy hat, drinking your mint juleps. Yeah, that might be number one on top of the cake eater list.
If you
attend a Kentucky Derby as a fan. Or one of the, you know, there's, it's just out of control.
You just don't want to get dressed up, which is ironic considering, I'm not going to give it away, considering who our special guest is in like 10 minutes. You don't want to get dressed up.
It's an it's a event, not a sporting event, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's show up and show off our nice dress and our fancy goofy hats. That's Cake Eater Central, brother.
I don't have anybody
going to the Meadows and doing that stuff. Those are hardcore people there.
Harness racing. That's where the real hardcore fans are.
The guy that won like every single race in harness
at the Meadows. Yeah, they have like the same jockey.
Yeah.
that wins all the races.
Yeah. I don't know his name.
I can't remember his name either. But it was the same guy that would win all of them.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was there until you mentioned it. I turned it on, and I'm like, I am not waiting through like 6 hours of previews.
No, you just turned it on at like 6:30, 6:45.
Dave Pallone, there you go.
Dave Pallone.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. I don't bring people up and ask if they're still alive or not.
Hey, honestly, you know you're old when somebody brings up a name and your first thing that comes to your mind is, still alive? I mean, don't tell me that. I mean, really, how many actors do you say? Is he still alive?
He's still around? I don't know. He's still. Yeah. I did it the other day. Who did you bring up? No, you brought up Aaron Neville, and I thought he was dead.
Yes.
You keep doing this. Every time you bring someone up, you ask if they're still alive or not. I just work under the assumption that unless I know someone's like a historical figure who's already died, that they're still alive.
You know, when they do the. At the Oscars or whatever, everybody
died. Yeah, the in memoriam.
Or even the NFL. There's one person on there like, oh my, no, good. I didn't know he died. You always say that, right?
Yeah, yeah, usually.
So what I'm saying is if you're getting old and the first thing that comes to your mind is if he's alive or not, it means you're old.
Okay.
I didn't watch it.
Did you care that Aaron was there? And apparently sporting what some people think may be a wedding band. Maybe that's the personal thing that he's got going on. I saw the tabloids talk about maybe he's thinking about starting a family. Maybe that's the personal stuff he's talking about. Hmm?
Maybe it's one of those things where can't you get them now and they could take your heartbeat and your all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I forget the name of them. Aura. Yeah.
I'm telling you, or he just wanted to stop off in Kentucky before heading over to the Allegheny County Airport. Maybe Ed Thompson's over to Allegheny County Airport right now, checking out, see his private planes landing, get him a Malibu.
Maybe he's house hunting out in like Sewickley, maybe Bell Acres. Maybe he's going to buy Devin Bush's old house after Devin Bush gets thrown in the pokey.
Another neighbor just put their house up for sale. Speaking of, I think he died. So I think that's why. I don't think he ever moved in. Me and Aaron, hey, Aaron, come on over. Nice little house in a quiet neighborhood, and we can carpool to work.
And you could convince him that the practice facility is going to be built at the old Century 3 mall site, like you're always trying to do.
It should be. I mean, right next to the Allegheny County Airport, right? I mean, large spaces.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Terrible traffic to have to fight through every single day if you don't live in the area. Traffic
on the south side, you know, coming from the North Hills and Cranberry and hitting through Oakland and wherever.
Hey, I'm fully behind this if it happens because it makes our lives easier, to be honest. And then, like you said, Aaron Rodgers just moves in down the street from you. I think that's perfect.
We got a couple houses for sale now. Let's go.
I did see this.
Oh, I had this and we'll move on. The person who's selling the house is also that you go through the pictures of the house and there's like a Mercedes in the garage and it says it comes with the house.
Nah.
I swear to God.
That's wild.
I'll send it to you. I'll send you the Zillow link.
Send me the listing. Is there a reason these people haven't gotten in touch with Dan Heck yet if they're selling their home? I mean, they're not doing it right.
It's not up. I just saw it on Zillow. The problem is I think the guy was buying the house and built it, and I thought he got sick. He never moved in.
I think that's terrible. That's terrible, Kenny. If they'd get in touch with the Heck team, they'd get that thing sold ASAP. HeckTeamHomes.com, by the way. HAECK.
With Dan Heck. I don't even know. I didn't even look at it that closely.
So you don't know who listed the house or if it's even for sale yet?
It's on Zillow, for sale by owner. Maybe that's the problem.
Good luck with that. Yeah, I know some people that had a house in Pleasant Hills for sale for a while by owner. Nothing for months. And then they called up Keith at HeckTeamHomes.com. Bang, sold it like that.
That's what they need to do. If I knew who lived there, I'd just send it to you right now.
Okay, I'll look it up later.
I think it's for sale by owner. They're trying to cheap it out.
That's exactly what it is. People don't want to pay the commission. Oh, what am I going to pay the extra money for? Well, so that you get a professional to handle all this crap for you. That's why.
Sell it.
Exactly. Did you see Will Howard and Jack Sawyer hanging out down in one of those Steelers shops on the Strip?
I saw them at the Pirate game. They're probably like, oh, my goodness. Like 4,000 people are there.
I did see that they were
introduction to Pittsburgh sports. They're in trouble.
They were they were down in one of those little shops in the Strip that sells all the Steelers stuff.
Knockoff stuff, $4.
Maybe some of it is. Who cares? What do you care if it's legit or not? You work for NFL licensing now?
Jack Sawyer. I'm at sure.
BA Trading, 1800 Penn Avenue. They got a couple of shops, I think. All but right. Yeah. There's this picture. I should have downloaded it so I could pop it up on the screen. But it's Jack Sawyer and Will Howard with the woman that owns the shop. See, right there.
Either they're tall or she's short.
Both.
They're both 6'5", right?
Will Howard's 6'4". Jack Sawyer, I think, is probably like 6'3", he's listed at. So, yeah, they're
Jack
big
Sawyer
boys.
Sawyer in town. They're going to get on the field on Friday.
Ooh, baby.
Power walkthrough.
I saw some teams had rookie mini camps already this past weekend, the Ravens included. Yeah. Steelers have theirs this weekend. This is what you wanted to talk about offseason roster construction today, and we've got a couple minutes before our very special guest shows up. So special. I gotta ask you.
Legend.
Yeah, I mean he's
maybe he can help. He ain't gonna help me out. Maybe he can help you out.
He's way too sophisticated to help either one of us. We need way too much help.
He knows so many stars. It's unbelievable.
You know what was crazy, though? I drove by his store on Saturday because we were driving down 19 to go to lunch after the kids' marathon. And there he was, sitting right there. I saw him sitting at the counter in his store right there on Washington Road away. On 19. I did not give it away.
I should have did some research, but I didn't. You know what my research was?
What?
I texted LeBar. Give me some good stories.
Nice. LeBar is always a big help to the show. So what you can't say DK Metcalf. What was your favorite move of the offseason? Free agency, draft, anything?
Yet to be determined.
You can't say Rodgers. I did see a Yahoo Sports column over the weekend. I sent it to you.
I crapped all over it.
You did crap all over it. But it basically made the same points that have been made here on this show for the last month and a half, basically, which
subscribe.
Is their entire off. Maybe they do. Maybe they listen and they pulled all of the thoughts and ideas that we've been putting out there. But it basically put into print all the stuff that we've been saying, which is their entire offseason has been built for a 1 year swing at things with Aaron Rodgers,
which was the same thing last year, but they just didn't pull it off as well as they did this year. Think about it. I mean, it's the same concept of what they're doing. I honestly, you look at their roster, and if everything goes as planned, I mean, at least last year you could say, okay, this is a little iffy. This not quite sure how this might work out. Mm-hmm. Receiver situation, whatever. Now you look at it and you're like, there's not a ton of holes here if everything works out, which obviously it's not, right? I mean, that's why teams lose six games. That's why they're going to go 10-6, 9-7, whatever, 10-7, whatever it is, because things don't always work out as planned. But I think their offseason actually put them in a very good position. If they get good quarterback play, they can make a run. When I'm saying make a run, I mean make a run in the division title. Make a run. Remember, they were way far ahead in this division in November
before they fell to pieces.
Now, I think they've actually put together a pretty solid offseason. And they're not married to anybody for the most part, other than Metcalf. You dump them next year and you do it all over again. If it's Rodgers, if it's Darius Slay, if it's Gainwell, if it's Jalen Warren, whoever it is, dump them and move on. Dump them and move on. Until you find that right mix, I'm fine. But it all has to come together with the quarterback, which
remains to be determined, like you said.
Not a big if he's going to sign. It's going to be a big if he can play to the level that they need him to play at.
Consistently.
Yes.
I mean,
I've
said it repeatedly. He still pulls some lightning bolts out of his arse. And he's still capable of that. We saw it a couple times with the Jets down the stretch last year. but I don't think it can happen consistently enough. I'll love to be proven wrong if it happens that way and they end up winning 11 games and the division title, and who knows from that point what could happen. But again, I'll be happy to be proven wrong if that ends up being the case. So you can't say DK and you can't say Rodgers. What's your favorite move of the offseason? You copped out on that.
I didn't.
You did. You didn't give me an answer. Come on. Is it Mason? Is it Slay? Is it? Who is it?
My favorite move. It's hard. I mean, I can't go with draft picks because you don't know quite yet where they're going to fit in at. So you have to go free agency, right?
Do you? I don't know. Like, I think Derek Harmon might be my favorite move of the offseason.
My favorite move might be Jeff
or Rodgers.
My favorite move might be getting Troy Fatanu back, but I don't know if that's considered a favorite move.
Not a it wasn't on the transactions sheet. I'm sorry. It doesn't count.
Now you're having a transaction sheet. I just think that they set it up nice. If you can't say Metcalf, but Metcalf's a huge part of it. It makes Pickens a great potential there as well. Slay, who else? I think Malik Harrison is going to be maybe not my favorite, but I think he's going to be a little bit better than you anticipated. But I think it's more just filling in around with better players. Gainwell could be a guy. I'm not saying the super. I mean, you took out my superstar. So if you're not going to Aaron Rodgers, you're not saying DK Metcalf.
Is there anybody who's a Steelers fan who isn't saying their favorite move of the offseason is trading for DK Metcalf?
Oh, no. Most of them are going to probably say Will Howard.
Come on. Seriously.
I am telling you. You don't think they're going to say Will
Howard?
There
is not a rational human alive who is saying that their favorite Steelers move of the offseason was drafting Will Howard ahead of trading a second-round pick for DK Metcalf. I know people are unrealistically high on Will Howard right now. And God love him. All the stories, he called Tom Arth as soon as the draft was over, as soon as he got drafted, to ask for the playbook. It's all great. I love it. I hope the kid does well, but let's just pump the brakes a little bit. Okay, just a little, pump them just a little bit. All right, kaboom.
I just think that the offseason, they just upgraded. I mean, Slay is better than Dante Jackson, right?
Yes.
His name, Dante Jackson?
Yeah, you're the guy that covers the team. You're supposed to know.
Dante, whatever. I see the number, whatever.
Oh, my God.
I think that's definitely an upgrade. I think Sawyer will help with depth. I think Harrison will help with depth. I think where you have to be a little bit concerned about is they really didn't do much at the nickel. I mean, you've got Brandon Echols. Mm-hmm. You got Beanie.
Yeah.
You got
Kent. They picked up that safety, the kid from Iowa, right? There's talk about him maybe being a nickel.
I'm talking about
slot corner.
Upgrade, huge upgrade.
Yeah.
From last year. I mean, by the looks of it, I think Caleb Johnson's number 20. So Cam Sutton, nice
gone.
To meet you, right?
Yeah, that's not
although
so
I've right. seen him at the facility a couple months, maybe a month or so ago.
Well, lots happened in the last month.
Obviously, that's a telltale sign. If they're giving your number to a rookie, you're not coming back.
Thanks to the guys at Impact HVAC for sponsoring Cabali and Mac as well. You need your AC tuned up or checked out before it really starts to heat up this spring and summer. Give Tony a call. They're all there waiting to help you. 412-297-1852. Family-owned business in the South Hills area. But they'll head to wherever you need them. 412-297-1852. Or you can check them out on Facebook as well. Impact HVAC, PGH.com. I mentioned a lot has happened in the last month or so. A guy who would know about all the major things in the world that have happened over the last month or so, our special guest, the man himself, fashionista extraordinaire and stylist to the stars, and also Pittsburgher, David Allen, joining Cabali and Mac this morning. How you doing, David?
I'm doing well. How are you guys? It's good to see you both.
Yeah, you too. Good to see you. As you can see, there's no hope for us, man. I got my hoodie on. Cabali's got his Nike zip up. You work with people who are much more in style than us. Paul Skeens, Alex Highsmith, Jay flipping Uso. You are stylist to the stars, my man. So it has been a busy, busy month or two for you between Mania and the draft and everything else going on. Have you finally had a chance to sort of exhale and catch your breath? I told Mark a couple minutes ago, I drove by the store on Saturday. It looked like you were finally like relaxed, like not running around like a maniac.
Yeah, it's been this time of year is just crazy for us. And typically in May, we slow down a little bit. We're actually opening up two locations right now. So it's taken away from a little bit of the quiet for us. But yeah, it's Mania was intense this year and just so much going on. We're fortunate enough to work with a ton of different athletes and we're working on some more projects with The Rock right now and trying to get some stuff situated with him. And, you know, so it's Mania was tough. It was every year the stress leading up to it's a lot. Fortunately, I have a really good team, good people around us, and our clients are awesome. So it makes it pretty easy, but, you know, makes you want to hit a home run on everything that we do.
David, it's probably what, 7-8 years ago, you were probably going to wrestling events with me and LaBar.
Yeah.
And you disappeared in the back. How big of a rocket ship launch was this for you from maybe 8-10 years ago to now? I mean, you were going, like I said, going in the back trying to find people to talk to The Rock, John Cena, like you said. I mean, it's mega superstars. I mean, could you even have anticipated how quickly you've went from?
Yeah, it's in the back of my mind when I've been in business 9 years, probably like 12 or 13 years unofficially. And even before that, I was always trying different side projects and side hobbies. But my goal was if I'm going to do something, always do the best that I can and try to take it as high as I can. I did believe at some point I would get in front of these athletes, these stars. And, but at the end of the day, the majority of our business is the everyday consumer. 99% of our business is just your everyday suit wearer or clothing person who appreciates clothing. You know, so it's definitely been fun to watch. Obviously you have a great relationship with McAfee. He's been a fun person to work with and, you know, start doing a lot of him a couple years back. And, I guess, now is like the sky's the limit on how big we can grow this. And we're trying to open up two stores at a time right now over the next 4 to 5 years. And once we get one open, which is the next one's coming to the North Hills of Pittsburgh, we should be open by the end of June, early July. And then we'll start on Nashville, we'll start on Tampa Bay. We have Orlando working right now. So we're trying to be open in Orlando by September timeframe. So we're at a pretty big push right now for sure.
Is this like a franchise thing, or is this like you're going out to each city and you're hands on making sure this is built from the ground up the way you want it to be built?
Yeah, no, good question. Yeah, it's I'm doing it all with my team and keeping everything in house. And, you know, whoever has been working their butts off from the beginning will have opportunities for pieces of equity as we expand and making sure I take care of people along the way, whether it's through stock or, you know, management roles or whatever it may be. But I've always wanted to grow something pretty big, see how big we could take it. But to keep the brand integrity to what it is, I just want to be involved. I'll be 40 years old in September. So, you know, I'd like to get at it for another 5 to 10 years and then see what happens. But I really love what I do every day. I wake up and it's a Saturday every day, as cliche as that may sound. You know, so for me, it's just like, I want to be involved. I love the people we meet throughout this whole thing.
I think I saw you say something one time that you've made John Cena 500 suits over his career. How in the world do you even come up with 500 different colors, concepts, or whatever? How are you getting, hey, did I do this one yet or not?
Yeah, we've had a couple duplicates in there where I had to remake him some stuff for free because there's just so much that he buys off of us. And he's got to be about 550 or 570 right now with the amount of suits that he's purchased. He just put a big order in on some polos last week, and we started doing shoes for him now too. So whenever I first started working with him, it was September of 2016, and he pulled me in the back room of catering and just said, hey, let's take a walk. I heard you're the suit guy. And at that time, you know, I didn't know anything about anything, so I was just guessing. We were making stuff that was coming in wrong all the time, and I knew I had one opportunity to work with him. And you know, I was sweating it when I knew I was shipping it to him to try it on. And his first message was, hey, this is great. Only a couple minor tweaks. And from there, it's just been building a good friendship and relationship. And, I think at that time he was working with five or six other soup businesses, soup companies, and they would, a lot of them would give it to him for free. And we just didn't have that business model, nor could I afford it back then. And now he just exclusively purchases and supports our business. And it's pretty surreal to have that happen.
That's amazing, David. Seriously, what propelled you towards this? I mean, you gave a little bit of the backstory, but like when you're a teenager, where'd you grow up exactly?
I went to Ringgold High School in the Mon Valley area.
Yeah, so you probably right down the road from where Kaboom and I both, we both live in Jefferson Hills,
yeah,
out off of Gil Hall Road.
Yeah, I went to Bell Vernon, so we didn't like Ringgold.
So, like, at what point did this ever enter your mind as something you would be doing? Like, when you were a teenager, I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old now. We're always talking to kids about what they're going to do when they grow up. And they have some ideas, but, you know, this might have been something that entered your brain when you were a kid, but was it? Did it hit you when you were in your 30s, you know, over the last 10 years or so? When did it hit you, like, hey, this is something I really dig doing and I'm really good at it?
So, you know, when I was young playing, we you know, I grew up as middle class as possible. And, you know, so we didn't have the means of spending a boatload of money. We used to go to Gabriel Brothers to buy a lot of our clothing when I grew up. And I always had an entrepreneurial knack. Speaking of Gabriel Brothers, I used to go and buy candy in elementary school for a box of Skittles for a dollar, and I'd sell each pack for 50 cents. So I liked hustling my entire life. And then when I was playing sports, I cared about, you know, look good, feel good, play good, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I never really had an interest in getting into fashion. And then I went to Duquesne University for college, graduated, got into medical sales after college. And one thing that I noticed was the top doctors always dressed a certain way and the top sales reps always dressed a certain way. And I didn't know custom clothing was a thing back then. And I was traveling in Chicago with one of my colleagues, and he said, hey, you should come meet my suit guy. Ended up going and meeting with him. And I go into a showroom and there's athletes and celebrities all over the wall. And I was like, all right, this is a cool process. So I bought a suit off him, and I never ended up wearing it because it never fit me properly. But I loved the process. Repeat that situation in New York City with another colleague of mine with his suit guy. I had the same experience, same things on the walls. And I just came home one day and I was like, this is kind of unacceptable. Like, I feel like there's a better way to do this. So I just went to Google and YouTube and started figuring out, how do you make suits? How do you order suits? How do you get in that space? And my initial purpose when I started the business was, if I can make a couple extra bucks and get free suits every month, that was all I wanted to do. And then started getting some attention. And then it was like, hey, maybe I could pay my car note this month, or my going out to dinner type expenses. And that's when I met Justin Labar and Kabali. And, you know, early on it was, you know, I saw Justin was working with a lot of wrestlers and started sending him, I have a patent on interchangeable necktie knots. I started sending him a bunch of those. And one day he just said, I want you to meet Titus O'Neil. And that was October of 2015. Met Titus in at the Marriott across from the arena, the day before Monday Night Raw. And I think he purchased 10 suits off me the first night that I met him. Did all of them for him at cost because I saw it was an opportunity to get him with WWE. Messed up every suit that I did for him, of course. Ordered 10 more, messed up 10 more. I did that about 4 or 5 times until I realized I should make one to see if it should fit. And, you know, Titus was incredible. He really took me under his wing. January of 2016, he just said, I want you to travel with WWE, book a flight, spend a couple days with me, and I'll introduce you to the locker room. And I came home from that trip and sold 52 suits to 9 different wrestlers. And I just came home, opened up a business January 28th of 2016, and said, I think I could grow something here.
How did you meet the final boss, The Rock? And the second part of that, I guess, would be, when you do his vest, I saw you doing some of his vests. Who does the input there? Is that you saying, I'm suggesting this, or has he come to you with a plan? This is what I want. See what you can do.
So we got connected last WrestleMania when it was in Philadelphia, and WWE called me about 30 days before the event. And I got a text message at like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night from two of the executives. And they said, hey, you know, hey, David, it's us again. Can you jump on a call? So it was a Wednesday night. I jumped on the call with them and they said, hey, we have a project for you for WrestleMania this year if you're interested. And I just said no politely. I just said it's too close. I got to a point where I started, I I got tired of putting myself in a bind in stressful situations because people would be so last minute, and I get it, in show business, that's what it is. So initially I turned it down, and then they said, well, if we tell you who it's for, that might change your mind. So then lo and behold, they said it was for The Rock. And I, yeah, of course I'll do this. You know, what are you looking for? And so they basically came to me and said, hey, you know, he loves Elvis. He loves the Flash, loves the lights, has the celebrity component, obviously. Put something together to showcase this. And I went back to my creative team and we talked through it. And 2 days later, I had to fly out to Dallas for SmackDown to measure him. And at that point it was, hey, we need to have an answer by Monday on what route you want to go, because the project that we were going to do would typically takes about 8 weeks, and we're trying to squeeze it in about 3.5 weeks. And no answer on Monday, no answer on Wednesday, no answer on Friday. About a week and a half go by, and we finally got the approval on the outfit and what we wanted to do. So it put me under the gun. I had about 10 days to turn it around. Ended up turning it around in 10 days. It arrives on my door at Wednesday before WrestleMania. So I was supposed to leave on that Friday, and I opened up the package, and I was unhappy with what I saw. So whenever we went to design the product and we went to print it on the garment, the factory distorted the image quality. So it ruined the image quality. So you could see little pixelations all over it. So I had a quick meltdown for about 10 or 15 minutes, called my team, and we're like, hey, what are the plans? What can we do here? We came up with a bunch of ideas, and none of it really made sense to me. So we ended up going out and buying little gems. And me and another gal, we hand glued 4,000 gems all over every single blemish. And it ended up taking, and I've never done that before, and it ended up taking a product that was mediocre at best to an incredible design, and it really made it pop for WrestleMania, and it forced me to learn some other trades and crafts, and now we've done that ever since on other projects additionally. So, you know, you take a stressful situation, you learn from it, and you grow from it, and it was the best worst thing that could have happened.
That is wild. I mean, so you've gone from basically in the course of the last 10 years, from just getting started and meeting people in the business and in the worlds where, you know, custom clothing like this is important to them and they can afford it, to now you're hand gluing thousands of gems onto a vest that The Rock is going to wear at WrestleMania 3 days later. That's wild.
Well, and then we had to go out. So then we had the whole, I don't know if it's going to fit him question too, because it was the first project I've done with him. And we did the pants for the outfits as well. And initially, he wanted to be able to take the pants off and wrestle, so we had to figure out how do we make it seamless for him to remove his pants so he had his trunks on underneath of it. So I go out to Philadelphia on Friday. I'm going on his tour bus, and I meet with him, have it tried on, and we're pretty damn close to perfect on the fit. But I didn't have a tailor with me at the time, so I was like, no problem, I'll get it adjusted. And what we were running into was the zipper on the side of the pants was just falling down. So we had to come up with a solution. So I wake up Saturday morning in Philly, and I just get to Google and type in tailors, who, you know, anybody I could possibly talk to. And one lady answered like 20 minutes before they were supposed to open. And she was about 45 minutes outside of Philly. So I just had a good feeling about this person. And I just, she didn't speak much English, so she didn't know who The Rock was or didn't know what was going on. But it's tough to ask somebody to stop doing everything else they're doing and see if they could work on a special project. And so we ended up taking it out to her, dropped it off a couple hours later, came back to pick it up, and then it was showtime. So there was no issues or no opportunities to have any changes at that point. And I remember going out to the arena. I was sitting ringside for that event, and you know, we're texting with the WWE executive team, and I'm back and forth running backstage because I was supposed to go see him before he came out, and nobody heard from him. And then at five minutes to 10, I was like, I'm going to my seat because I want to see this live and see what it looks like. Hopefully it works out. And then, you know, I got back to ringside, and, you know, the music came on at 10 o'clock, and it was a pretty surreal experience, but I still couldn't enjoy it because then I had to worry about, are the pants going to work, right? And are they going to be able to unzip? And so it was a lot going on in my mind, and, you know, I didn't want to ruin my name or my reputation by any means.
Now, I'd be remiss not to ask you about my boss, Mr. Pat McAfee, the guy who loves his tank tops. And I got to admit, you know, tank tops are quite comfortable. How do you design anything for a guy that's, you know, maybe like him, like Pat, who's maybe not top of the list, worried about his fashion sense?
Yeah, Pat's Pat's fun because I know he's a wild card with everything. His personality obviously speaks for itself. So, you know, everything that I try to do for him has to, because he just doesn't like wearing formal clothing in any capacity. So I have to be as creative as I possibly can and not be overly flashy with the things that I do. So it has to be more tastefully quiet, but still loud. You know, I've struck out on a couple things with him, I think, but most of the stuff we've done a really good job. And, you know, we did a really cool thing and he hasn't worn it yet. So I don't want to give away too much, but whenever, for the Elimination Chamber, we did an American flag inspired jacket that he didn't wear. And he told me he should have worn it after because of all the booze that he
would've
got.
Perfect.
But Pat's awesome, man. I met him in 2017, 2018, had a chance to do his wedding. And then ever since then, we just started building a good rapport together. And, you know, I was able to do weddings for all the guys on a show. And Pat just texted me this morning, just checking in with everything. But he's an incredible guy. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get with him. But he's awesome.
I'll say, man, if you're designing the stuff he wears on game day every Saturday, yep. Like that is, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Like it looks classic, but it still looks like it's got that Pat touch to it that, you know, just different enough.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the goal. And that's with anybody that we work with, right? It's the questions I always try to uncover is who is the person? What do they do for a living? What is the event for that they're wearing it? And how fun and how creative can we get with it, whether it's an accountant or whether it's Pat McAfee? Everybody has to wear something that makes them comfortable in their own respect. And, you know, that's the challenge of this business. And that's the challenge of making sure we do what our job is and making sure that we take care of people who are paying us a lot of money to do this.
Now, this might be unfair. This might be asking you who your favorite kid is, but what is your favorite suit you've put together and for who? And it could be any reason. I mean, is there one that just sticks out like, yeah, I like that one. I hit that one out of the ballpark.
So the number one is just going to have to be The Rock because it was such a spectacle from a person standpoint, from a personality, the obstacles, all these stuff that happened in between as well. You know, and I have that tattooed all over my leg as well. So I have the little Funko Pop that they turned it into. And, but I was contracted a couple years ago to do, where I had to turn Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels into KFC Colonel Sanders. And those were two disaster projects that turned into beautiful projects as well. The big thing for me is if it makes somebody feel good, it's an awesome project to work on. You know, it is cliche, but it's a whole different feeling when you have something made for you and fits you properly. And when you could take somebody who doesn't really like wearing stuff to make them comfortable and happy wearing something that's not in their wheelhouse. But from a loud spectacle, I mean, those were a couple of the bigger ones that I've done. You know, off the top of my mind, those are probably the main ones, but we've done so many, it's tough to keep track of a lot of this stuff.
You work with a bunch of the Steelers too, and just athletes in general. You don't have to name names, but what's the craziest thing somebody's asked you for where you're like, whoa, I appreciate your out of the box thinking, but I don't know if I can pull that off.
We had a couple years back for Sheamus and Cesaro when they were tag team partners for WWE. We had to make suits that they could rip off right before they, like when they're in the ring, they could just kind of rip them. And then we had to put Velcro, elastic, all kind of stuff in them to make that happen. And we ended up pulling it off, but they didn't end up wearing it and doing what they wanted to with it. So that was kind of the unique one of it. I've had people reach out for like Kevlar suits for military type stuff. You know, stretch is the biggest thing that a lot of people ask us for from that standpoint. Sonya Deville, I used to do a ton with her, not as much as recent, but we've done some really crazy, like, you know, half the suit had no leg and half the suit had no sleeve. And then the other half had sleeves. Right. And so we've played around in that capacity, but, yeah, we get a lot of unique stuff and, you know, sometimes it's better to say no though. You know, I don't want to staple my name on something that I don't believe I could really pull it off, but at the same time, I don't think we've ever said no to anybody either. So
you had Paul Skeens out, what, last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, we did his white outfit on the Major League Baseball red carpet. And then whenever he won Rookie of the Year or whatever it was earlier in January, we were fortunate enough to do his outfit for that. So he's actually coming in, I think, in the next week or two to load up some more stuff for the rest of the season. So, you know, we've been going to spring training for the Bucks and We went down for the Tampa Bay Rays this year as well. And next year we're trying, I think we're going to get in with the Yankees and the Red Sox. So we, Sean Casey's a good friend of ours, good supporter of our business. And he's been helping us connect the dots in the MLB. So yeah, it's been pretty crazy, but the Pirates have been, Derek Shelton, the whole coaching staff, you know, it sucks that the deal with the ownership right now, because the core group of people on the Pirates, they're just incredible human beings.
Yeah, Sean Casey's a phenomenal human too. That's awesome that you're connected with
him. I'm surprised you have enough time here to talk to us. You seem kind of a busy man.
Seriously, I was going to say, so between the stores that you're opening up, you mentioned the one in the North Hills. You mentioned what? Nashville.
All Tampa, the other, Orlando.
Yeah, Tampa, Orlando. I'm sure there will be other locations. Yep. What else is going on that you want people to know about, aside from the fact that the brand is just like exploding right now?
I'm having a baby.
No way.
Yeah, right. I'm having my first child in November. So I said by the time I'm 40, I want to be a dad. So, you know, very excited about having my first child on the way. So that's going to change things up a little bit for me. Haven't told anybody publicly, so here we are.
Congrats.
You're going to be a awesome, well-dressed kid.
You're going to have to find some of those safety shears for cutting the
fabric,
man.
Yeah, for sure.
This whole thing's ironic because I think the only suit I have, I labeled as my funeral suit.
Yeah. We get a lot of people that unfortunately, my dad, he's healthy now, thankfully, but he just came in to get his black suit that he wanted. And I'm like, Dad, stop looking at it that way.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Just look for something good.
I'm going in the casket. I'm wearing like sweatpants. And stuff. I'm not, forget that.
No, for sure.
When they lay Kabali out, there's going to be a sandwich in his pocket. Just a
sandwich, you know, some cargos, and maybe a cut-off T-shirt. I want to be comfy, buddy.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
No, but that's what David does, Mark. Comfort and you look good. So, you know.
It could be a whole new business. Get your suit you're laid out on.
Very morbid, but hey, there's a business for everything.
Exactly. Well, hey, man, we got to thank you for the time today. Like Mark said, it's obvious that you're crazy busy. Congratulations on becoming even busier with a new addition to the family soon. There's a lot going on. We're super stoked you were able to take some time to talk to us.
Awesome. Thanks for the interest, guys. Keep doing your thing. It's awesome to see you both.
Thank you. Too. David Allen, stylist to the stars and Yinzer extraordinaire. Everything great comes back to Pittsburgh at some point. Pittsburgh, yeah. Everywhere, always. I say that all the time. Boom.
He made me tired just listening to the stuff he has to do.
Dear God, multiple stores, big-time athletes and superstars from the WWE. And, oh, by the way, yeah, now you got a kid on the way, too. His hands are full.
That's unbelievable. I mean, like I said, I went. You remember I posted that video of Triple H hammering me and Rossi in the bar. Yes. He was supposed to be there. He was there.
Loser buddies from high school get together.
He was there next to us, but he went in the back to talk to. This had to be 8 years ago, so this is probably right when he got started. He left to go in the back to talk to some guy, so he would have been a part of that. So
that's
see
wild.
How quickly he went from
just a dude from Ringgold.
Yeah, we can totally not worry about the, you know, what's word. We can look past that he's from Ringgold.
Oh, yeah. I got no
problem. What if he hates Joe Montana like everybody else in Ringgold?
Everybody in Ringgold doesn't hate Joe Montana.
He never come back. He wanted paid.
He's California guy now. He too good for us out here. Comes back in Monongahela.
We like to have you. Jey Uso was there during the Pat's big night out. He stopped over at the store and put in an order. But 570 suits. I don't have 570 of anything.
No. Cena. I don't have. No.
I wonder.
Can you imagine how much room does it take to store all
that? Oh, yeah. Is he a one and doneer?
Like, probably. I mean, when you're John Cena, you can afford to wear a suit once and then it just goes in storage, I guess.
Yeah. That's I get mine at like Burlington. Just were like way too big and stuff. I'm like, I'm only going to wear it to the pop show. Or,
well, you know what's crazy? I was actually looking at David's website this morning. You can get it. He'll do a custom suit. Like they start at like $1,000, which a lot of people are like, oh my God, 1,000. But like, if you're going to get a nice suit, like that you can wear over and over and over again for years. It's kind of worth, this is going to sound stupid, but the investment, like it really is. Like if you never want to have another suit that you ever have to go out and buy and you want something that fits nice and you get it all custom fitted and everything, that's not a crazy price, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, once again,
I mean, I don't go out and buy suits.
I'm a cheap bastard, so I don't know about
that. I know you're a cheap bastard. We're well aware of just how cheap.
That's another Pittsburgh man made good, huh?
Seriously, that's why I said it. Yinzers are everywhere. Pittsburgh is everywhere, and you don't even know it. When The Rock walked out at WrestleMania last year in Philly, he was walking out in something made by a dude from Ringgold.
The Mid-Mon Valley.
Is Ringgold Mid-Mon Valley? Yeah, I guess.
Yes, Mid-Mon Valley.
I was going to give it Upper Mon Valley, but that's more like your,
I wonder if he's from
New Cane and Clareton.
I think he's from New Eagle, or is he from Finleyville?
I bet he's a Finleyville.
Denora?
Denora? No, nah, I bet he's a New Eagle guy. He knew Gilhall Road when I mentioned Gilhall Road. So he's a Finleyville guy. Finleyville's like a mile down the road that way. I think that way or that way. I don't know.
You're in your little cubby hole. So
I'm in down here in my hole. I did want to bring this up because Monday Night Raw is tonight. There will be no Cody Rhodes. It'll be more of the John Cena, Cena, Randy Orton build for Backlash on Saturday. Braun Strowman getting cut. What's up with that?
You never know. Maybe he didn't like how he was being used in the ass. I haven't heard any.
I mean, he was just on the roast at WrestleMania like 2 weeks ago. And boom.
Was that ever?
No, I never saw any public footage of the roast of WrestleMania.
Too bad.
Probably for the best for everybody involved.
I know the old Bloodline might be. Old Tama Tonga, I think, is out for a month, six, seven months.
Really, that long?
He tore his triceps. He's had surgery. But Tonga is supposed to be coming back soon, but they might hold him out. I don't know.
Braun just had come back, what, like a little over a year ago, right? And I thought he did a great job with
the gave him a push. They gave him a push there a little bit with
one big SOB. As Pat would say, like,
well, see, I think they dumped a lot of those other people, mainly the female wrestlers, because there's such an overload coming up from NXT. It's just
right.
A group of just they want to give a shot to, I would imagine.
I get that. And there's limited time available, right? Like, totally plus, get it.
These people, I mean, just because you're not in WWE doesn't mean your career's over.
Oh no, life isn't over.
Make livings on indie shows or AEW or whatever else it could be.
Dakota Kai, for example, she'll catch on instantly somewhere
else. I thought she was actually going to get a push here a couple months ago.
It felt like it.
She came back and.
But the Braun Strowman thing is tough because, like, he had come back. He did the whole Bronson Reed angle. Yeah,
that's probably what killed him when Bronson got hurt.
It's tough though. I mean, like you said, he'll go off either back to AEW or what's going to make this just a little bit weird, I think, is that you never know. Some of these people may be released by WWE
and
then show up in TNA. That's a possibility. And then all of a sudden, they're basically working loosely with the WWE again anyway. Like, there's a lot of TNA NXT angles that are crossing over right now. And the possibility that you end up getting released by WWE, but if you end up with TNA, then you're basically just working with the company that just let you go anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I think Pat will probably have something to happen tonight, right? With Gunther, yeah. His last time on TV before the match.
This is
what I'm assuming.
Okay, give me your theory on this, because I want to.
Well, it's going to be a match. Obviously, I don't know. It's not like I know anything. I'm just assuming it's going to be a match. I mean, Pat will probably get a couple shots in before Gunther just goes crazy and just, you know, puts him in grave danger.
Right.
And all of a sudden somebody comes and helps him out to prevent, you know, is it
Jay?
No, Jay's already in a feud with they moved on from the Jay one. It would make sense. To me, the only one that I can think of that makes sense is Goldberg.
You mentioned that last week.
That's the only thing, I mean, unless there's something I'm missing here, I don't know who else would have a beef with Gunther. Unless Wade Barrett, like I said, that's my ultimate one. Would Wade Barrett wants to get one more match in and he comes and helps out his colleague? I don't know. Will Wade be calling that match? Probably, since Pat's going to be.
You would think. So does Wade. I want to go help him. Jumping. The Goldberg idea is a hell of an idea. I know there was talk that maybe Goldberg was going to do one last match, basically, and you need somebody who size wise and work wise can hold up to Goldberg.
They threw Nuggets in there a couple months ago.
You know. Gunther can do that. That would be something. Where are they tonight? What city are they in?
They're somewhere close to St. Louis, I think. So
okay.
Maybe I don't know where they're at.
Because I, you know, obviously the biggest pot for Goldberg is going to be in Atlanta. That's always been the deal. I don't know if they have any events scheduled for Atlanta anytime soon, but, no, that's a hell of an idea. I kind of don't want to get too hyped for it just in case that's not the angle, but it'll be something to watch for this Saturday. Definitely. Real quick before we wrap up, this is a good question. I haven't seen them posted anywhere, but you would know. John wants to know, any significance to the rookie numbers? Have the numbers been posted for the rookies yet, Steelers rookies?
Yeah, the only one I could think of is Cam Sutton with the 20 going to Caleb Johnson. Other than that,
nothing to take away from
him? I don't even remember who was.
Well, let me go through them here. I think I just found him. Will Howard will be 18. Caleb Johnson, which you mentioned, will be 20. Jack Sawyer, 33. Oh, that's an important number in Steelers lore. 30.
Well, that does. What was he in college?
I don't remember.
I don't know if he's even allowed to wear 33.
Why wouldn't he be?
Not in the linebacker season. Is there any? No, I think he would have to be in the 40s.
Ooh, I don't know.
That could be all the 49, whatever number he wanted might be taken right now. Those are things that can change when the final rosters comes upon us.
Dante Kent, 34. Carson Bruner, 44. Y.A. Black, 78. Okay. And Derek Harmon, 99. He got Kiesel's number.
Well, Harmon's locked in because once you lock that in, you're allowed to go and you can't change it because you can then sell merchandise. You know, those the people they're unsure of, they would have to buy back their numbers and stuff like that, which is goofy. So the other ones are probably interchangeable right now. I don't think you have single numbers. Who's number four?
Yeah, you're allowed to. Hold on. Linebackers have to wear 1-59 or 90-99. The only thing off limits are 60s, 70s, and 80s. So Jack Sawyer can wear 33.
Maybe then. I don't know. I just know for a fact that Derek Harmon has to keep his number. All the other ones could be anywhere. I mean, Bruner at 44, wouldn't he want 87?
It's taken, isn't it?
Who's
87?
Who knows?
Come on.
Yaya Black. YA Black doesn't look like a 78.
No. That should probably get changed at some point. Who's 87 right now? JJ Galbraith, rookie free agent tight end out of South Dakota. Yeah, why would? Well, no, wait. Bruner's he can't wear 87.
Why?
Because that's an offensive number.
Oh, I'm thinking he's a freaking tight end. He's a
What are you doing? So I don't think there's any great significance either to the jersey numbers. What? Here's a question for you though. Since you're convinced, and we'll leave on this note, it's something to think about for Wednesday, maybe. What number is Rodgers going to wear when he comes in? He's not going to get 12. 8? He's going to steal Corliss Waitman's number.
I don't think Corliss Waitman is going to win the
win that fight.
So, what else would he? What was he, 8 in California, 12
in Green Bay,
and 8.
He was 8 in New York.
So, yep. I mean, 8. I think it'd be Kenny Pickett.
Don't do that to him. Come on. Why you gotta do that?
He's going to be number 8. I think, I don't know what else he would possibly want. Maybe double, maybe number 0. Why isn't he given number 1?
Because they don't.
I mean, before we even start going down this route,
yeah,
no, they're not going to have number 1 because the Steelers don't give away number 1 because they don't view anybody as should be number 1 on the team. Complain all you want, but that's just what
such a silly
that's rule. What they've done for 30 years. I mean, every year it's the same thing. Why won't they let him have 1? He's going to wear 1. No.
It's such a silly rule. I mean,
it's a rule. What rule isn't silly? All rules are silly.
No, some rules are made for good reason to, like, you know, for whatever reason, to protect certain situations from happening or whatever it may be.
You can look at
it. We don't give out 1 because nobody's really number 1 on this team. Come on.
They haven't given it away.
Is that why Art Rooney's going to go to the Hall of Fame, Kaboom?
Why are you guys, like, dragging me for this? You know darn well that's going to happen.
Why?
And Crowley set me up today. He goes, when's Roger going to sign? I said, I don't know, 7-10 days. I said, I guarantee it's going to be, I said, between May 22nd and June 10th. He goes, no, I'm just putting 7-10 because it sounds better. So all of a sudden I'm hearing people writing 7-10 days. I said, no, I said before minicamp.
Roger's going to end up signing the weekend of minicamp when I'm out of town, and it's going to suck.
Where are you going?
June, we're going out to Arizona for a friend's 40th birthday.
Jesus Christ, you talk about cake eater.
Cake eater. You're such a cake eater.
So a 40-year-old, you're going to Arizona?
Yeah.
Who is this? I mean, how many times have you seen this guy?
He's a neighbor. He lives down the street. He wants to go to Arizona for his 40th birthday. That's like Santoro. The trip he wants to take.
Santoro.
No, not Santoro doesn't live down the street from me.
Where's he? He lives
in a different neighborhood than me. Anyway, that's exactly when Roger.
Let's go to Arizona. Okay. How about like this? Let's go to the P bar. That would be a lot quicker.
He doesn't want to go to the P bar for his 40th birthday. Nothing against the P bar.
What are you going to do in Arizona? If you go to Arizona, you do go to Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's is Chicago. What are you talking about?
No, they have one in Arizona. I've eaten there a number of times. By the way, Brad is right. Who is this guy, and how many times have you even seen him?
What are you talking about?
You're an Arizona guy.
I don't know if that's who Brad's talking about.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Anyway, he's just quoting you. Who is this guy? How many times have you seen him? Wednesday will be our 50th episode, and I'm going to pick a fight with you over this whole Art Rooney Hall of Fame chatter thing that you threw out over the weekend. Because it's worth arguing about. Because I don't know what the man's done that's Hall of Fame.
I got to get more yins or guests. I got to figure out some more yins or guests.
I texted Ryan this morning. He has not answered yet.
Who's Ryan?
RC.
Oh.
Ron Clark. Texted a few other people. We'll see who gets back to us. It's that time of year where people are busy.
Or by design,
not busy, so they don't want to do anything.
I haven't heard anything back from one guy yet. Now, here's my question, though.
Our one.
You going to call up David Allen and ask him for a free suit now?
No. 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 That's too much. What are you talking about?
Hey, you know, if you got a suit just hanging around that nobody else wanted.
The guy makes custom clothing. You don't call him up and say, hey, if you have a random suit that didn't fit John Cena, can I have it? Regular? It'd probably fit me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it seems like you have done that in the past with a couple other guys.
No, I've asked people for things when they offered.
To have a suit that's a 44 long, and you're just sitting around and don't know what to do with it, I could take it off your hands.
I could take it off of your hands for maybe a few bucks. No.
No, you wouldn't say a few bucks.
All right. So Wednesday, if we don't have any special guests, The world will argue with you because I don't know how many people agree with you necessarily about what? Art Rooney being in the Hall of Fame.
Like I said, Art Rooney in the Hall of Fame as a contributor to the league, what not necessarily he... what he has accomplished as the Pittsburgh Steelers owner.
There's okay, again, it's noon. I'm done talking to you about this. I'll save it for Wednesday. But what I'll leave it at this. What has he contributed to the league? Other than being in charge of the Steelers while they haven't won a Super Bowl.
Is this a 48-hour tease or no?
Yes, that's exactly what this is. This serves as a 46-hour tease.
And by the way, a hippo would take out 100 humans like that.
I think you're right about that. I think the gorilla would too, for that matter, but that's a different
thing. The hippo would take out a gorilla in about 2 seconds.
Snap. It's a hell of a question. All right, let's wrap it up for today. Don't forget, if you have not subscribed yet on YouTube, get up off your butt and do so. Once we get to 1,500 subscribers, we're going to pick a random subscriber to win that autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet. And anything else, you know how to get a hold of us on social media at Molly and Mac. You go take a nap, all right there, big guy.
All right, David Allen, thanks.